It's the year 2033. There's no law. No mercy.
You're gonna really love this one.
And no water.
There are 3 million liters of water underneath the Blue Dunes, and you will retrieve it.
The odds of survival are 1,000 to 1. And that's just the way she likes it.
My, my. Talented, isn't she?
Hi! Feeling a little inadequate?
She'll be fun to break.
I like pain.
Lori Petty.
Did I hurt you yet?
Ice-T.
Turn this boat around or you're gonna get us all killed.
And Malcolm McDowell.
Just how many of my men did you kill?
United Artists Pictures presents...
Just say, I won.
I won.
Tank Girl.
What's it like knowing you're about to die?
You don't!
They're the human equivalent of the Klob from GoldenEye. Welcome to Recapping Down, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. I turned on Peacock a couple days ago and I watched a movie called The Holdovers.
I saw that advertised. Was it good?
Really good.
Oh, okay.
Alexander Payne's newest movie. It's sad.
Well,
it's sad. It's a tough story. Kids unwanted by their parents.
Oh God.
But they go to like big fancy boarding school, so no one feels bad for them. But
that doesn't seem like a good place to be if your parents don't want you.
But it's good. If you have time to check it out, you definitely should. And also, there was another movie on Prime, because I'm always on the lookout for something. It was a Tommy Lee Jones, Jamie Foxx movie. Interesting kind of
combination. That's a weird pair.
The Burial. Have you heard about this? Based on a true story?
No.
Jamie Foxx plays this lawyer who takes on a client, Tommy Lee Jones, who owns a bunch of funeral homes in the South, who gets screwed over on a business deal by this big funeral home conglomerate from Canada. And it's a courtroom drama. It's all this stuff. It's like this real nice Southern country funeral homeowner in Tommy Lee Jones. It's I'm used to seeing a lot of bad movies, but I got two in a row. But
you know what threw me was when you set it up. I go, oh, that sounds like a wacky ass comedy, and you know it's a courtroom drama. And I'm like, oh God, what?
Based on a true story too. When I was watching, I'm like, this could not have happened. This is wild. It didn't really happen.
Well, I don't have anything fun that I'm watching to share. I don't think. Nope. I've been mostly just watching Vanderpump Rules. I'm finally in season 10. It's been a long slog. There are some bad seasons of that show. Not bad episodes, bad seasons. But it's worth it. I'm deep in the lore, and it's gonna make rewatching season 10 a lot more enjoyable, I think. Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief. I don't even know what. I didn't write it down in mind. What do you have here? What's your correspondency this week?
Munitions
correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. Oh, I feel like I had like a delightfully funny anecdote to tell when I was driving home from work today, and now I can't remember what it was.
The worst.
But Bill and I watched Barbie, and when Ryan Gosling was singing, he's like, oh, he can sing? And I was like, sir.
He's a Mouseketeer.
Yes.
Of course
he can sing. And then I went, and onto YouTube, and I pulled up. I think it was like a very formative moment in my childhood when Gal Gadot, JC Chazé, Justin Timberlake, and Ryan Gosling sang Jodeci's "Cry for You."
They should not have given them
Baby, I'm
Jodeci.
begging, baby, I'm begging, begging. And they do like
Nothing.
little body rolls.
There's nothing less comfortable than an 11-year-old singing a Jodeci song. I'm like, dude, no.
Baby,
No.
it
I don't know what
was.
R&B song I'd rather them sing. Jodeci is. That's fucking music. That's not even like love making music. That's fucking music.
Well,
Oh,
it was
God.
little Ryan Gosling, little Justin Timberlake, and then like teenage JC and Dale.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I think it's Dale Gadblato. Pretty sure. I don't know. I feel like I don't
Yeah.
know what happened to Dale. Homeboys in Outer Space, that was it.
Yeah, well, deeply unfortunate is what happened there. You ever seen the clip of it's Ice Cube performing You Can Do It on All That? It is the most confusing. Like, he's performing it as though he's performing for a crowd of adults. And,
Did he
like, there's
censor it? Like, you can do it, put your butt into it? Like, what is he?
I think just put your back into it is all he says. But I'm like, who greenlit this for Nickelodeon? This is not a song for children at all. Oh my God.
Oh, guys. Dale Gadblato's still out there.
Oh.
Appearing
Doing
on one
what?
episode of everything.
Oh, well, at least he's still
One
working.
episode. One episode.
Got that,
One episode.
he got that
He was in
SAG insurance.
Thor. What the
Oh.
fuck? Okay, keep that. He might not make enough. The mit like the that was what the whole strike was about. The
Yeah.
minimum was really, it's
Yeah,
too high now.
it's too high for like 94% of actors. That's true.
Yeah, like 80 something. It was, yeah.
Yeah, it's too fucking much. But speaking of too fucking
It's
much, uh-oh.
amazing what you do. I just remember the part that Justin Timberlake comes in on.
I wasn't ready for that to happen. This week, we're talking about Tank Girl from 1995. You can get it on Roku, Tubi, Pluto, Freevee, all those for free, or rentable on Prime, Apple TV, Vudu, and Redbox. The synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes. After a comet disrupts the rain cycle of Earth, the planet has become a desolate, barren desert by the year 2033. With
Eight years away.
resources, yeah, I
Wait,
mean, we're
nine.
heading there now. Just give it a couple weeks. With resources scarce, Kesley, head of the powerful and evil Water and Power Corporation, the de facto government, has taken control of the water supply. Unwilling to cower under Kesley's tyrannical rule, a pair of outlaws known as Tank Girl and Jet Girl rise up, joining the mysterious Rebel Rippers to destroy the corrupt system. That's not really that accurate, despite the fact that this movie has no plot. Like, they tried to graft one on here. That's not really. I don't know that Jet Girl's an outlaw. I mean, she's a mechanic more than anything else, and
She
Rippers aren't really
becomes an outlaw.
rebels, but okay. Yeah.
Rippers. So many questions about those.
We got to talk about them for 45 minutes conservatively.
Right?
Dave, if you could give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Tank Girl, played by Lori Petty. Jet Girl, because the creativity of the names, there's a lot. It's good. Naomi Watts. Oh, I'm
Yeah.
like, Naomi Watts was in this movie? Like a big ass star. Oh my God.
Yeah. Not them. Not them.
Kesley, Malcolm McDowell. I'm like, oh, Malcolm McDowell. Come on now.
He's just
Why would
Malcolm
you?
McDowell. They never said his name, I don't think. He's just Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, he was in my notes. He was just MM in my notes.
Same.
Yeah. Character of Sam, the little kid who keeps getting kidnapped by everybody, by
A
Stacy Lynn Ramsoer.
living MacGuffin, yeah.
Iggy Pop plays a character called the Rat Face.
Wild that he agreed to play this character. Like, you are
Weird.
literally just here as an aggressive pedophile. Like, that's the character you're playing.
We were watching it and I was like, is that? Yes. And Bill's like, it's a 27-year-old Iggy Pop, too. No, I'm just
He is 17.
Looking
Was
85.
haggard.
Let's see. Oh, Ice T. Ice T. That's
Yes.
T Saint. Because you want to make up your own name? It's like, well, we got T.
Yeah, just put something else on
And I'm a pretty nice guy, so Saint T Saint. All right, works. There was a Cusack, and Cusack plays Sub Girl.
She doesn't have a
What's
sub, and they
this?
never call her that. They call her like Rain Lady or
Oh,
whatever.
I
They
don't know.
call her. It was
They
in the
never call her
trivia,
that.
though. It's in
Yeah.
the. There were comments about. Okay, that's who she was. Okay, interesting.
Not another one of those kangaroo guys. Reg E. Cathy. I love Reg E. Cathy. I'm
so do I. Like, poor him, huh?
Yeah.
I think R.I.P. didn't Reg?
Pretty I good. Think he, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. D.T. That's his name. D.T. James Hong.
Oh, James Hong deserved better than this.
But he's been in everything. He's been in everything.
300 credits or something.
Oh, yeah. He deserved better than this. God.
And there's a lot of people had really small parts. I think Richard Schiff was like one of the trooper guys. But that's... I think
the cast is not big, and most of the characters either are in full prosthetics or don't have much to do. So that about checks out. Let's go around the horn here and give some memories the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
I know I watched this film as a kid. Mm-hmm. It was on HBO Max.
Sure was.
And then I'll answer the next question and we'll...
All right, but Dave?
I know I've seen this.
Memories for you?
This was all over MTV, the preview at least.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember ever having an opportunity to see the movie though.
Oh.
Like I'm sure I went to Blockbuster. I'm like, there's that. Moved right on down the line.
The box art is terrifying.
Yeah. I was never a comic book person all that much. So I think that's probably why it got past me. But again, remember seeing the preview a bunch, never seen the movie. Very common trope in my life.
When I go to edit the episodes, I watch the trailer. I haven't watched the trailer for this yet. I'm sure it's going to give me epilepsy. Like, I know this trailer is just loud noises and like sudden flashing lights and fast moving images and shit. Like Dana, I didn't see this in the theater, but this movie got very heavy play at my house growing up, probably via HBO or Showtime. It feels like it was one that was on like every Friday or Saturday night on one of those two. Dana, rewatching as an adult, did it make the grade or should they hold this back?
What the fuck did we watch?
I don't know.
That's what I don't remember.
I don't fucking know what that was.
Any of this, but I know I watched it because Lori Petty's Kit from A League of Their Own.
Of
so
course.
You bet your ass I watched this film.
Yeah.
Watching it as an adult.
Wow.
What the actual fuck?
Wow. Yeah. Dave?
Make the grade? No.
Wow.
How about you, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I was like, that is Kit, all right. My goodness. Very thin, this movie.
Maybe I thought you were going to say Lori Petty.
Also, yeah, too? Both? Both?
No, come on. I'd never comment on anything like that.
She was very thin.
I was like, more? We needed more? And
more of what?
Anything? A story? A plot?
Yeah, a story? Anything like that? An understanding of what day it is? Or if it's all... This could be an all-in-one-day movie. I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know how long this took.
Yeah, I just didn't get it. And the interstitials with the comic book stuff, I'm like, I'm sure you're supposed to think that was cool. I'm like, that's lazy.
I did. No, I loved it. I was here for
you,
that.
You liked it? No, it's lazy.
I'll tell you why in a sec, but I did love that.
Especially they're like,
Kirby explains why they did some of it.
Yeah. We can't practically do a good ending, so let's
The ending was terrible. Hold off on that.
So, guys, I fell asleep.
And it was too long. And it was too long. It was so loud.
It
couldn't keep. It was just bad.
Yeah. No.
I forgot to include that in my review. I fell asleep and probably missed the last 10-5 minutes.
We'll talk about it. Okay. Yeah, we're all in agreement here. This is a bad movie. Visually, it's really strong. There's a lot of very specific shots and like stylistic choices that work for me. I'm unlike you guys. I loved the comic book stuff in here because, number one, I'm an illustrator. It's like looking at, I can't illustrate like that. And it makes me very jealous that I never learned how to do like classic American comic book style illustrations. But I liked all of that stuff. And also it probably saved them a shitload of money. They have several montages that are just done in comic book. So that was probably a way to cut some cost. This movie, I can't imagine it cost that much, but like they had to rent a tank, so it probably cost something. But yeah, the plot in the movie, like Dave said, is unbelievably thin, a la Lori Petty. There are a lot of problems with the dialogue. The main character should have been killed at least a dozen times if the bad guys just decided to kill her. It's a rare case where I feel like this could be remade now, and it would be like a really fun, zany action movie. But in this form, it is a pretty big fucking mess. Fun facts on this one before we get into the recap and the segments.
Well, I just read one that blew my fucking mind. So a lot of things about the things they animated. So there's like it's based on a comic book. The people who wrote the comic book, like, don't like the final film. The director doesn't like the final film. Like, there were just all these like cuts and things they wouldn't let them do. And a lot of the animated stuff was because like they wouldn't let them shoot it and they needed to like fill in gaps. So they animated it.
Well, sure.
Apparently the relationship between Tank Girl and the Rippas, which I know we're talking about more spoiler to do it now, but these are kangaroo men.
Yeah.
I thought they were dogs.
No.
They're kangaroo men.
They're kangaroo men, but the less said about how they got that way, the better.
Yeah, but so there's a scene, apparently a naked Ripper suit incorporating a prosthetic penis was created for the love interest and used in a filmed post-coital scene, which was removed from the final version of the film at the studio's insistence.
They had to show the dick in the post-coital scene?
I guess. She also falls for Booger, which is the dog.
We're going to talk about that. Let's keep it to the fun facts for a second.
Okay,
we're
I'm sorry. I was like, that one?
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of the Spice Girls auditioned for the film.
Wow.
And that's how some of them then like looked at the same ad and joined the Spice Girls. Jerry. Oh,
Jesus.
Hollowell, Victoria Beckham, and Emma Button. So Ginger, Posh, and Baby Spice all auditioned for this film.
To do what? None of them would be Tank Girl.
Something to do with girl power. Girls.
I could see yes. Baby or Ginger being Jet Girl. I don't, Victoria Beckham has no charisma. Like, I don't know what she could be in this movie where everything is loud and moving fast.
Oh no, it was for the role of Tank Girl.
Get the fuck out of here.
Also, I'm sure they just didn't like audition to everybody.
I guess.
Guess who made the Ripper?
I don't know. It's Jersey coming out of you. They looked pretty good. That's not Jim Henson, but they looked pretty good.
Stan Winston.
Wow.
They didn't think they would get him. And he was like, I'll do it. Did it for half price, though. So
That was the one part. There were the one thing in this movie that I'm like, that really is a strong, like, visual stylistic thing you're doing is the way that the ears, like, move on them. There's a part where we see Tank Girl and Booga, like, laying down. And his ear kind of, like, curls over her head. And, like, Ginger, that's good. But what is that in this movie for? Stan Winston, now I know. Now yeah. It makes fucking sense.
It definitely was giving like really good animatronics nowadays. Mm-hmm. It would all just so that was the one thing I will give this film.
It's all practical.
A lot of practical. Not all. There were some bad. There's at one point they're jumping
bad,
off of like a runaway truck. And I like sort of it looks like they literally took like a little doll Rippa and Tank Girl and just like tossed it, and I started laughing, and Bill's like, what? So I rewound it, and he was just like, I'm like, what?
There's
he
that
even it's funny. It's just like,
when the Rippers jump, I'm like, well, okay, they're kangaroos, it's not Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, they can't jump 80 feet in the fucking air. That was a little bit too much, but I think, you know, all things considered, there was a lot of practical effects, and a lot of them looked a lot better than they had any business looking.
I was waiting for a lot of like pow. And have that.
Well, there should have been some of that.
Stuff like that. But
damn.
There was an interview that Ice-T did where they were making fun of him for doing this movie and his makeup and everything like that. And he said, well, I made $800,000 to be in that movie. And
right. That's the thing is
done and stop making fun of it. Everyone got fucking paid.
Yeah, well, he's in a lot of straight up and down garbage, but he's always like, yeah, I'm a working actor. Like, I have to make money. Like, I'm not Daniel Day-Lewis taking prestige, you know, roles. I'm here to fucking work. And he worked, but all right, let's go ahead and get into the recap in the segments here.
I'm just gonna say, sorry, just the naked Ripper outfit with the full penis. Oh, it's gonna haunt me. It's gonna be in my dreams tonight.
Did
my
you
nightmares.
See it?
Or no, you're just imagining just the it. Thought of it. I have a very vivid imagination.
I don't
imagination.
Know why they had to show the dick, huh? I don't know why they had to
yes.
show the dick.
Oh, you know what I remembered? I had this really weird dream that for some reason I thought Matthew Broderick died. I don't know why. I was very, I like, remember, it popped back into my head today. And I was just like,
oh,
why did Matthew Broderick die? It was very upset. Like, I was like, oh my God, Sarah Jessica Parker's going to be a mess. It was so vivid. Like,
well,
we were
on the
friends.
Other hand, he did kill somebody one time. So, like, we often forget. He killed somebody. Brandy killed somebody. Like, we forget about this.
Was that the car accident with him and Jennifer Grey?
Okay. Yes, sure okay. was. We've talked about we forget about these murderers walking amongst us. But
okay, it was a car accident. It was like you fucking like
yeah, reckless driving.
He's not Ray Lewising people. Jesus.
Is that why she had Ray to get an? Is that why she got a new nose? Because the car accident?
No, it was just self-consciousness.
Vanity.
Yeah.
Oh.
Straight up vanity.
Oh, okay.
Fucked her whole career up, unfortunately.
Jennifer Grey. Love you.
Yeah.
Love you.
No, but, deserves better than career. We gave her. But yeah, fucked her whole career up with that nose. Okay. So yeah, for those who haven't seen this movie, I want to kick us off with like a little bit of world building to set the stage for what this movie's about, because boy, they did not try. I mean, this
boy,
is
boy.
Oh boy. I am a sucker for world building. I love the works of the author N.K. Jemisin, because she does world building better than fucking anybody. It's great. And I'm used to that. I'm like, let me dig into some lore and understand how this world fucking works. They kind of give you like an exposition dump to open the movie. It's about 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's just straight voiceover of Lori Petty. And she starts off by saying, like, don't ask me to repeat this. I'm not gonna. So I'm like, so we get one pass at this, and then we're not gonna go back to it ever again. Essentially, what she says is a comet hit the Earth 11 years ago, and it hasn't rained since then.
Mm-hmm.
Not a meteorologist. Why do we think a comet hitting Earth means it never rains ever again?
Because it killed the dinosaurs. That's it.
It rained after that, though. Did it knock us off our rotation and it changed the seasons and completely eliminated rain as one of those? I don't see how that happens, but I figured it was something like that.
Did it put so much like shit in the ozone that it blocked and
could
it
be
messed
that too.
With the...
Now see, that's why the dinosaurs died. Because the sun was blocked out for a couple of years and it got super cold, nothing grew, and then everybody died off. That made sense. She just said a comet hit Earth and then it just didn't ever rain again. And I'm like, well, that, as long as there's still water on Earth and the sun is up there, that water is eventually going to evaporate and rain back down. Like, I don't.
Nah.
The whole planet just, the comet knocked all the water off, huh? Just hit it and the water just, no more of it. Then they didn't tell us this. I assume the whole planet's a desert now is basically what they're saying. But like Lake Superior is deep as shit. Lake Baikal is deep as shit. I mean, you ever been to, well, it's in Russia. It's like 20% of the Earth's fresh water. It's a gigantic deep ass lake.
I always thought Lake Superior was number one, and then I found out there's this giant lake in Russia, and I see this drone footage of him. Like, it goes on.
It's an ocean.
Forever.
It's
incredible.
It's the world's largest, oldest, and deepest lake. It's just like, it's just a hole in the ground with waters in it. But like,
You're saying like, what happened to the rest? It's like when we were watching fucking badass Rebel Moon, whatever fucking Zack Snyder
good?
Piece of
I
shit.
I haven't. Oh, was it bad?
I fell asleep. No, okay. I stayed awake.
You fall asleep for everything.
but there's like a part of it where I was just like, why is this always the thing on like space movies where they'll go to the planet and they go to one city? I'm like, that's the only city on this whole fucking planet?
Yes.
And I feel like this movie's very much that. We're in America. Somewhere.
Maybe. Probably. Like, there's a lot of Weird American accents. I don't know for
comet,
sure.
That's it. This is the only one we're going to look into. Right. No communiques from the outside world. But yeah, it gives me very much a space movie where like, we're going to Tatooine.
Yep, we're going to Tatooine City,
fans,
Tatooine.
If that's the only one.
It's the only city we know of. Yeah, no, that it is fucking weird considering the variations of like climates and architectures and cultures we have here between like California and Texas even. Like, the shit will change. But like, I've been to the bayou in Louisiana. That shit is not drying up in 11 years. Like, there are swamps. The Amazon is there. Like, not the Everglades. There's parts of our planet that just ain't going to dry up all of a sudden because a comet hit.
Yeah.
It doesn't make
I think that's the bad thing of it is, like, Waterworld had it right. Everything's going to flood. Like, that's really
that makes a lot more sense to me than all the water. Mm-hmm. Our planet's mostly water. It all goes away, huh?
All the salt water overtakes the fresh water and we're all fucked. Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah.
That, well, they drop that in. So-and-so was going to figure out how to turn salt water into fresh water. So salt water existed somewhere else.
Well, problem here. Okay. So this guy, and we're going to talk about him because
I'm confused by him.
But before we get to maybe we could turn salt water into fresh water, we are genetically modifying human kangaroo hybrids and like making fucking desert outposts and shit. Like, desalination would be the first move you make.
Were we doing the kangaroo men prior to the comet?
Unclear. We're going to talk about that. Okay. When we get to them, I have a lot of questions about them. But I also needed to know, is water and power a global thing or is it regional? Like, if they would have said America west of the Mississippi is a desert now, cool. Got that. Yeah. Now I understand how one essentially utility company runs everything. Cool. That would make sense. I don't understand how this happened. And I think the condensed timescale is what has thrown me off so much. Comet hit Earth 11 years ago. Okay, cool. Yeah. Presumably Earth is completely fucked for at least that first year before we like stop the fires everywhere and stuff from a comet hitting us. So then in 10 years, we go from water and power being nothing to being global one world dictatorship with a huge army. Like, give me, if you say that's 200 years, okay. That I can 11 is not that long.
Like, I think a lot of people died in
middle school.
I think a lot of people died when the comet hit.
Probably. Probably. They didn't tell us that. But yeah. There's less people. I don't know. And I also don't know where we are. As we said, we're probably in America. Malcolm McDowell's got a British accent and Jerk Girl's Australian. Dr. Prophet is in New Zealand. The Rippers are modified kangaroos. They're Australian natives. Like, I don't know. I don't know where we are on Earth. They didn't try to tell us. Very confusing.
Wait, I was going to try to do
world is king. Desertification takes forever.
Yes.
I don't.
Yeah, it's not something that happens that quick.
That even then, there's water under deserts. Uh-huh. You can dig for it. Which, I guess
there's a scene where they're talking about it. There's
that's how water and power gets there. Yeah, that's how water and power kind of controls shit. Is they tap the underground water.
3 million liters, though. Is that a lot of liters?
I don't think that's how big is an Olympic swimming pool. It's like that might be one pool full of water.
I should look this stuff up. Yeah. One thing was like with the power and water thing, my immediate thought was like, oh, Parable of the Sower, where like stuff gets. You've ever?
I don't know.
Octavia
what that
Butler?
Is. Mm-mm.
Okay. If you like N.K. Jemisin, I highly recommend you read Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents. I can't remember which comes first. No, the Sower comes first.
Well, I'll go to my local library.
Very good. Yep. Highly recommend. Yeah. But there is like a hole where like California just becomes like. Absorbs other states and just becomes this like giant desert and it's like a whole water thing and it's yeah, so I got that, man. Okay, never mind my
I wish
trying
I was there
to be,
with you.
Make analogies and
that's what you get from being
smart and literate and...
right. So another thing with water and power here, they don't tell us, do they only like hoard the water for themselves? Are they like selling it to the highest bidder? Are they doling it out to like communities? They could have cleared this up by showing us some characters who aren't part of Water and Power and also aren't like Mad Max rebels. Like show me little communities that are like clinging to survival under the watchful eye of Water and Power, where they're dependent on them for survival, something. Or like a map where Water and Power has like its own little network of outposts. I have no idea what they're doing with this water.
That's right. Yeah.
Drinking it in champagne glasses, but that's it.
Yeah. When they had what Malcolm McDowell's name in the movie is Kesley. I'm like, is this supposed to be Nestle with the water?
Oh.
Nestle? Kesley?
Nestle, Kesley. Furman, German.
But I'm like, that seems like a bit of a
It feels stretch, like a reach.
But no, because I feel like they, Nestle's been evil for a long time, but they're like most recent evils where they're buying up large portions of like fresh water and getting to pump as much as they want for free. That's more recent. I don't know if they were really doing that in the early 90s so much. So.
Probably just a little human trafficking mostly, like abusing their workers at the time.
You know,
it's probably what was happening, but
Nestle.
Yeah.
Nestle. Toll House Cookies.
Sponsor us.
Nestle, those little elves making cookies in a tree.
That's Keebler.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that part of Keebler? They probably own Keebler. I bet they do.
No, the one thing, I had questions about it because it seemed like water was this like huge commodity. But then I don't know if you noticed at one point, Malcolm McDowell walks through like a water curtain that when he goes to walk through, the water stops. And I'm like, we're just using water as like cool as beads that pieces. Hang from your door.
Yeah.
Like,
what the fuck? So that's the part that's like,
I think they're hoarding.
I hope they have to make money.
You're right.
Yes. And if they're hoarding it, then their facilities should be like the fucking, you know, the Caesar's Palace fountain or some shit. Like it should just be waterworks all over the fucking place where they're really showing off that they have all of it. I don't know what they are. I'm not sure what they're doing. The movie didn't try to tell us. I did want to dig into particularly Lori Petty's performance in this movie. I like Lori Petty. Let me start off by saying I love her as Kit in A League of Their Own. I don't know this source
great
material.
Station 11.
Oh, sure. A good actress. I like
another,
Lori
another
Petty.
End of the World thing. She's got a
thing.
I remember hearing in this League of Their Own, didn't hear for a long time, and then
Free
watched
Willy?
Like season four of Orange. Willy. Orange is the New Black, and there's Lori Petty. Mm-hmm.
Lori Petty and Patty Mayonnaise as Yoga Jones.
Over that, you know, that show just my jaw dropped
weird.
A couple times.
Yeah. So I don't know this source material. Like I've never read this comic. I know nothing of it other than like the time that it came out and what comics were like back then. So like maybe I'm assuming this is how the character is, but I'm watching this movie and I'm like, there's five or six times someone's got a gun to her head and she just openly insults them in their face. And I'm like, no, we've seen them kill people a minute ago. Like, why would they not just kill you? This guy's got a gun to her head and he pulls out his dick for a blowjob and she's like, oh, I'm gonna need like microscope and tweezers, blow her head off. Like all your boys are mad at you. You just killed her whole family. Like, why would you be like, oh, drat, you got me? Like, what is this?
Drat.
That's the thing that kept getting me like throughout the film. I'm like, why is she still alive? Like, obviously she's the main character, she has to stay alive. But there, I'm like, we're fucking not desalinating. We are taking water. We are killing people and sucking all the water out of them into a water bottle at a drop of a hat. But this bitch, we're keeping alive for fucking ever, and she's the worst.
Well, and they didn't even try to explain it because there's a part where Malcolm McDowell is like, oh, it's going to be fun to break her. And I'm like, okay, so you're keeping her alive just to like test out your torture methods and like have fun with it? That seems like a bad use of your time, pal.
Or there was like a part of me that's like rewatching. I'm like, again, I don't know the source material either. But like, if she was like some legendary rebel tank girl, like it's almost like if we had just been like, world ended, I'm this hero, let's get in. Okay,
if she's Furiosa, a rebel leader. Okay,
yeah, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say Mad Max. That's her. Yeah, she's Furiosa. Yes. She's fucking the rebel leader, whatever. And then it's like it'll be great to break her, to break the spirits of the rebel outlanders or whatever.
No one knows her. The only people that know her are dead or are captured. And so
y'all like, shot them the fuck up at close range. Those should have just been bags of pus on the ground.
Yes. All you had to do was explain to me that like. She has some knowledge or some skill that like we need to keep water and power up and running. Again, water world. That one girl had a tattoo of dry land on her back. We have to keep her around. She's a map. Give me some reason why they would not just murder her because she's making fun of them in their face and like, ugh. Gotta keep her alive, I guess. I'm like, you can just, there's several times I'm like, if you just leave her there, she's gonna die. You just leave her there. She's gonna die.
I was like trying to think. I'm like, is I don't think Harley Quinn's this. I feel like there are other movies where like
the cartoon Harley Quinn is just kind of obnoxious. Like the animated Harley Quinn is this. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like there are other films that are all escaping me at the moment, or maybe it's like TV shows or something, where there is a character that's like a wisecracking, whatever, like female, male, usually it's male. But I feel like I've seen it and I've seen it done better since then. But
The Bride from Kill Bill was basically this. I mean, you got her whole face busted open, mouth full of blood, spitting on people and shit. And like, but again, she got her ass whooped the entire first movie. So like,
I've only seen the first one.
Oh, well, the second one is not as good. But like,
okay.
I mean, that is a character where, yes, she's like talking a lot of shit, but she's also almost dying constantly. And people are trying to kill her. With Lori Petty, at one point they have her like chained up to some kind of a scaffolding, perhaps in a freezer. I don't think she has pants on. And Malcolm McDowell's like, you know, you ready to die? And she's like, nah, I'm just kind of, you know, cold. He's like, all right, bring her inside. Leave her there. They put her in a tube. Why'd you pull her out of the tube?
I'm like, he likes to put people in tubes and just fill up the water.
Yeah, the tube is this thing.
Very slowly.
Very slowly. Yeah. So slow.
There's also things in those moments where, like, yeah, she's in the freezer. I was like, no one could survive for however long she was in there. Her teeth are, like, gross and black.
Her eyes turned white. Like, the color of her eyes turned white.
And maybe it's a pit of just bad situation where they clean you up before they break you. But then, like, when he's putting her in the pipe, makeup's redone, hair looks great, teeth are
her
clean.
Her makeup is always on point. Like, eyebrows always done, lashes always done. Yeah.
But I was like, she was just broken and her teeth were black. Uh-huh. And now they look great.
They really should have just killed her. Now we talked about the Spice Girls auditioning for this. Is there anybody else you guys would have wanted to see in this role instead of her?
Apparently Courtney Love was offered the role but had to turn it down because Kurt Cobain had just killed himself.
Can she ask?
It's not good.
She was great in The People versus Larry Flint.
Oh, she was good in that. You're right. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Huh.
But, not like a Joan Jett type, or I don't know if she's an actress, but
probably like Kristen Stewart right there. Nowadays could do it.
I don't think she has no charisma for me at all. I don't.
Mm,
this is all charisma.
A rather
flat affect from her. Yeah.
She's you cast her as Jet Girl is fine for me. The two that came to mind for me, and I was thinking at the time, Joey Lauren Adams would have been fine for this. They're very similar in their you know energy level, the way they perform.
She's wisecracky. Okay.
It's a different kind of wisecrack. The accent is not there. Her voice is very strange for this character. Yeah. And then I thought Mila Jovovich, because she's good with action, but she also not the most charisma.
No.
Not that way. Charisma more from like, look at this amazing thing I can do, as opposed to like, look at these lines I'm delivering.
She's too old for it now, but Charlize could have done it. We've seen it. Furiosa.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly. Like,
she was a little, probably a little young at the time.
Yeah, she'd have been like 12 probably. So.
Should we acknowledge? No, she wouldn't have been 12 because she pops up in that thing you do in a couple of years.
Oh,
so she's not.
You're right. But still too young for this. She would have been, I mean, you could do it and it just make her like, you know, a pissed off 15-year-old basically, I guess. But yeah.
Leslie Mann could have been interesting.
Oh, wow. I make it now with Leslie Mann in it. Just do it now with like Leslie Mann and Natasha Leggero as this Jet Girl. I'm fucking in. Give me that movie. I would have loved that.
Elephant in the Room. She's not a teen. We don't know how old she is. There's no school.
We don't know how old she is. I don't know. I would guess she's about 25-ish. I don't really know.
And then it was like, why are you watching this movie? And I'm like, I don't know.
Perhaps she's of age. Now there is some anachronistic stuff in this movie that drove me fucking crazy. And I was like, why would you write these lines? It's 2033. The world ended in 2022. This movie gives us references to Baywatch, Cats the Musical, Count Chocula, and Muhammad Ali. Let's say Tent Girls 25.
Cole Porter.
Cole Porter at least was Well,
what that, the hell was
well,
that?
We're going to talk about that for a long time.
I thought
time.
They didn't have television. I literally thought I heard her say they don't have, like, I thought there was, like, all media was gone. So I was very confused.
It probably is. But I would say at least that was something that was already old when she was born. Okay. They're talking about stuff that's, like, common, like, pop culture stuff in 94. Let's say Tank Girl's 25 in the movie. That sounds about right. The world ended 11 years ago. She'd have been 14. Baywatch was in its fifth year when this movie was made, and in real life ended in 01. By 2022, that show would have been on the air for like 33 years. Why would that show have been on for that long? Why is she like, oh, I gotta watch Baywatch? I'm like, dude, like, you're trying way too hard to be current, and it doesn't make any sense in actual context. The Muhammad Ali one is even an odder reference, because if Tank Girl was 25, she was born in 08. What little kids born in 08 were watching Muhammad Ali clips? None that I know of. Like, why does she know who he is? It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Just really, I missed the Cats reference. Which one was that?
She was talking about, it's when she slid, like, under, I guess that wasn't like a bathroom stall, when she was trying to talk to Jet Girl after she had already been captured once. And was like, come on, let's get in your jet. We'll go to New York. Maybe we'll go see Cats. And I was like,
oh, I missed it.
What? What the fuck? What are you talking about? None of it made any fucking sense. Now, we should talk about the actual plot of this film, such as it is. So Rebecca opens the movie. Tank Girl's name is Rebecca. And she's just like wandering freely on a yak. I looked it up. Most cattle drink between 10 and 20 gallons of water every day. Even if that yak is drinking half that, that's way too fucking much. But like, she's out here just like wandering around to find some junk for her boyfriend's birthday. And it really felt like and this is probably something from the comic, so I can't fault the movie for this, but like a camel, a tortoise, kind of like a gigantic lizard, something that is accustomed to being in a desert climate, but a big ass hairy yak. No. We find out that she's living in a house with like 10 or so other people. It's a house that looks not unlike the house from Courage the Cowardly Dog. It's just like a falling down shack in the middle of nothing.
I got Beetlejuice. Like,
oh, the Beetlejuice house in the Courage the Cowardly Dog universe. Because like that house, I never watched that show because I'm like, this doesn't look entertaining to me. But I remember the house is literally like a falling apart shack with nothing to the horizon in all directions. And that's basically kind of how this felt. The one part about this house that right away had me go, what the fuck are we doing? There's two children in this house. Why are we having kids? This is something
fucking,
that,
man.
Okay.
Just because the end of the world.
There's probably still condoms somewhere, man. Like, this is something that in these post-apocalyptic movies drives me fucking crazy. A Quiet Place. Y'all got pregnant knowing there's animals out there that come when anything makes a noise. Why'd you do that? Yeah. Why
People
did you do
fucking.
It? People, be, People fucking, be fucking. But I'm just like, these two kids are in this house. So they were obviously born probably in the weeks or months after the world ended. Like,
well, Sam is 10.
It's on
so
fire
yeah.
right now. Yeah, the planet's
yeah.
on fire.
So
we're going to fuck now anyway.
We have been living in this post-apocalyptic comet world, meteor, or whatever the fuck it was.
For a couple months.
For a solid year.
No, because if she's pregnant for 9 months. So it's like
right.
The comet hit Wednesday and we're fucking now. It's like, no. No, that doesn't make any
fucking
sense.
It's the end of the world. Let's get one last one in. We'll die tomorrow.
That's what blowjobs are for.
In Handmaid's Tale, like something with plastics took away guys' sperm.
Yeah.
But here, you may lose all the water, but guys still be fucking.
You know who needs water is babies.
even if women were like, this is not a good idea. Guys are like, yeah, I think it's
I'm going to do it anyway.
We're going to do it anyway.
Oh, my God. So we see kind of out of nowhere, Water and Power raids the house, kills a bunch of people because they're pouring their own water. What's up?
Fucking Tank Girl's on watch.
She is on.
She's supposed to be on watch.
I forgot she's on watch. She's on watch and watching nothing. Like she's
has her back.
Battalion shows up.
She is in a ditch, in a trench, on
there
watch.
Are 20 soldiers raiding the house, and she didn't hear any of them roll up.
Nope.
Yeah, correct. That's fair. They raid the house. I don't know how they knew that people were in this house. It doesn't fucking matter. But they raid the house. They kill a lot of people. Rebecca gets taken prisoner. She escapes and then plots her revenge is basically the plot of this movie. We have talked a lot about Water and Power and not really explained what's going on with them. So I want to dig into that too. Okay. The movie, the first time we see them, Malcolm McDowell is talking to, I don't know, some kind of like council of soldiers of some sort. And we see they're trying to sweep up the whole desert's water supply. I don't know who is trying to stop them from doing this. They're like, oh, we're making good progress, and we have this area and that area, and there's one more area that we're going to get, and we haven't gotten this one yet, but we're close. And I'm like, you need to give me another group of people that are out there also trying to do this. If it's like a different rival corporation, that works. If it is like freedom fighters that are trying to like take back the water from Water and Power, that also works. These are just like tiny bands of people trying to eke out an existence on like one small water pump. So I don't know quite what Water and Power's problem is from just taking everything over. Malcolm McDowell is mad because this general did a very good job, but not a perfect job, essentially. Like, everyone is celebrating him.
I was like, I thought
I did it.
He's like, we're just going to get that one, and then we'll be all set.
Yeah,
and
you're like, there's one little crack left, and that's it. And it's like, okay, great. Instead, Malcolm McDowell breaks a shitload of glass, then makes that guy take off his shoes and socks, walk across the glass to get to him. And then he kills him in a way that we're going to talk about in a sec. Did y'all also notice that Malcolm McDowell was also barefoot for no reason? Why? Why is he barefoot?
Yeah, show off
when did he get barefoot?
Show off them feetsies. Come on. Do it. Yeah. Everyone's clamoring.
He tells the guy that he's like mad at the guy for like, I can't believe you walked over this broken glass to come to
me.
You should have killed me before you ever took a step. I was like, how the fuck he was going to get to you?
Right?
You're surrounded. Like, it just made, I was like, you going to shoot you?
Yeah, I think his move is like, instead of coming over here, just like keep your shoes on and kill me. And I'm just like, well, the guy didn't seem to, I don't know. None of it made any sense. We're trying to set up Malcolm McDowell as like this menacing force, which like fine, but I was very confused by all of this. Again, it's been 11 years since the comet hit. I don't know how they have all the money and raw materials for this like enormous base and all these machines and vehicles to do all this shit. Even in like regular conditions, this facility would take multiple years to put together. They did it while the world was actively on fire from comet hitting it. Yeah,
impressed.
What a regime. Dave's signing up. I think it's like if they had told us that like this was LA and they took LA's old like water and power, like because in Austin the old like Austin Energy, like there's the water plant, I think they've renovated it. Like if it was very clear that this used to be on a reservoir or wherever, and like we just made some minor tweaks, but yeah, you're like you don't know where this is to like understand how they
and I
it's possible.
Again, I'm guessing some of that is like due to the source material. Because if I'm writing this, I'm like, oh, I'm going to put Water and Power in Hoover Dam and just show that it's dry on both fucking sides and like the wall from Game of Thrones, essentially. Like that's what we have left of what water once was. It seems like they built this purpose built facility like just to house people. And I think her job is to scoop up dirt from a hole. I don't know what she's doing. It's not pumping water. So I'm confused by all of this. Then we get I don't know what you would call this. I just called it the water bottle death machine thing. They don't try to explain how this works. Obviously, this is central to the comic book, but like it's like a deflated plastic bottle with like six big syringes coming out. You stab it into somebody, a little bit of blood goes into this one little chamber, and then like 8 ounces of water goes into the bottle, and the person is fully like deflated on the ground. It should be way more water than like half a cup. Like he's drained this man, and plus he picks it up, and the camera shows he picks it up, and all the water comes out of it because it's upside down. It's a cup. Like you can't just lift it up. But then he has some left, and I'm like, well, it should be a lot more than like one can of water, essentially. It
should be 10 and a half gallons.
See that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't try to explain it. It's a central part of the movie. Every time it happens, it's like a big surprise to the person. I'm like, you can't conceal this. It's pretty big. So I'm like, well, I see what you have in your hand.
Blech. Yeah.
You have to get within striking range. I'm just going to keep like 10 feet away from you at all times instead.
Well, it's also like, what part of it kills you? Like, does it kill you first? Or is it as the water's getting sucked out of your body, are you dying?
Yes, is the answer. That little bit of blood that comes out of you, I guess, is crucial. And then it's not like it turns the blood into water. It's like, oh, we have a little catch chamber for the blood that's going to come before all the water, the purified water starts pumping out of your body. The piss contraption from Waterworld made more sense to me than this. Like, I don't understand how this works. And lastly, with water and power, the movie didn't tell us. I don't know if there's any civilians left in the world or if everyone is either working for water and power or like held captive or fighting against them.
I think that's what you're supposed to think. I mean,
see,
I think
that's what you would think. Explain Subgirl. She says that some mysterious they were selling stuff they stole from a girl. Who is they? Where did you meet they? Are they cool with you just like kicking it out here in the wild? Like,
you know where she met they.
Well, they said they were their way there.
Met her in the Outlands, out where it's in between monitoring stations or what. I don't know, man. I just figured they're supposed to be like a New World Order type of one world corporation / government. Yeah. They seem pretty evil, but at the same time, like they don't seem like they're that big of a conglomerate. They didn't make them seem all that big in the movie, but I think that was just the movie's fault.
They're as evil as like Coca-Cola Corporation is. Like, it's evil, but like, is that evil? It's evil. So,
but we're supposed to think they are. They are everywhere.
Yeah, they are. Well, Coke is. So they have this big escape where they get out of this facility. For a gigantic evil mega corporation, they have incredibly lax security. They just have tanks and jets sitting around in the open, not locked. There's not she tries to get into one of the tanks and it's like, oh, you put the code in wrong. We're going to pump it full of cyanide gas. But like, they're watching them do this. They don't like send down armed guards to stop them. There's no one patrolling this area where all your vehicles are. It's just like, if you just happen to walk away from your post, you can just stroll over, hop in a tank, take off. I'm just like, well, you guys are bad at this.
That's the part where it's like, we need to know why. Like, again, if she was this great rebel leader, like, they're like, oh, we got to let her, like, think she could, like, there's just, it just made no sense. It's like in those movies were like, oh, I'm going to monologue. And it's like, I'm going to kill you. Forget it. Yeah. You know, like, there's just, we need to know. Yeah, it's just like, we're just keeping her alive to keep her alive. And it's just please give me a better reason.
We're
like,
keeping
she's
her alive.
The one.
She's the main character of this movie, so we have to keep her alive.
No, everyone's dehydrated. I doubt everyone's performing at their top level.
That's true.
When you have a gun to your head, or if it's like you there's water rationing going on, I mean, no one's performing.
You get pretty lightheaded.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that part later when they break in and they start taking pictures and everything like that. Those guys are just like, woo! We totally believe this is happening. This is a thing.
We're awful stupid. Dumb. Yeah.
Dumb. Yeah. Not everyone's smart.
No, it turns out.
For a big conglomerate.
Turns out.
Well, they also, like, their security isn't good because there's like the scene. I think in the first scene with guns and in every latter scene with guns, tank girl, crack shot. These motherfucking security guards and army men,
stormtroopers,
shit.
Can't shoot for shit,
Shooting at her feet.
They're the human equivalent of the Klob from GoldenEye. You're not going to hit anything with Klob. You shoot it, you're not going to hit any fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... we see that she has a gun because she's on watch. Did they mm-hmm. did she have a gun? Did she have scissors? Did she just have the scissors?
I don't know.
He said drop the scissors. I don't know if she had regardless.
No, but then she does put a gun between his leg and shoot it, but not at his penis. She like puts it between his leg and shoots it.
Like into the distance.
Him. Yeah, yeah. She wastes the bullet, but somehow it hurts him.
I don't know. It'd probably get kind of hot, I guess. So they wind up escaping from this like prison style colony or what have you. Again, you know, Tank Girl escapes over and over again before finally escaping because she loves to escape, talk shit, and then oopsie doopsie, they catch her again. Once they get away, like we said, Tank Girl and Jet Girl stumble on Sub Girl, who points them towards Sam by saying that basically Sam is a talented woodcarver, and two of her busts are now in the possession of Sub Girl, so they know that somebody that was at that house kind of came through here. She says they're at Liquid Silver. They're on their way to Liquid Silver. What the fuck was this? Dave made a reference to Handmaid's Tale before. This is really similar to like Jezebel's in Handmaid's Tale. But like in Jezebel's, like the whole thing is, oh, we are scandalized by gratuitous sex. So we go to a place where there's gratuitous sex. In this, Liquid Silver is a combination titty bar, brothel, and water park. Like we're scandalized by all this water wasting we're doing. And I'm like, what?
It might like, not this be wasting is it, for you? Circulating it, maybe God, filtering maybe. It.
It's just know. Ladies rolling around in water and spraying water on people and drinking water.
Oh, so that's a fetish in the.
It has like, to be
in the 11 years since the. Now that I think about it,
there should have been mermaids. Like there should have been.
Oh, there for sure should have been mer people.
Like, all that.
There should have been a lot of like those old time movie moments where the girls are like. Synchronized swimming that, shit, yes. Underwater ballet.
Well, because like... they essentially do give us a Busby Berkeley song and dance number, like from one of those movies, but it's not, there's no water involved. I'm like, you guys are dancing on a stage adjacent to water.
It should be, it should 100% been in the water.
It should be whatever that Step Up 3D movie was, where you're stomping on water, the water's flying at the camera. There's like a lot of pools in here, basically. Again, more lax security here because Tank Girl just walks into the dressing room and is in there for a long time with no one coming in. They have like a video monitor, kind of a hologram lady explaining to you how to like dress up to be a stripper, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori Petty spends so much time trying to like look and find out how this woman is trapped in there as though she is a caveman seeing television for the first time. It's like, I'll get you out. And then she's like looking around, looking underneath. And I'm like, it's a fucking TV, man. Like, why do you think there's a person in there? Then we see her just by herself in this huge dressing room, throwing clothes everywhere in a way that would have taken her conservatively 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But whatever. No one's coming in. She gets herself dressed. And then we see that. How do they get to... the madam there, she's coming down the escalator. Is it her and Jet Girl together coming down the escalator? And then the madam is like, stop them. It all gets very foggy.
They've saved Sam and then they.
Oh, that's right. They save Sam and then they want to hang out for a while and say they're leaving because that's what she does. Like,
because she should just, we got her. Let's go. Get back in the jet. Let's get back. Because I think they're already with the Ripper. No, they haven't met the Rippers yet. Yeah, it should just be like, we've rescued her. Let's go. But no,
Jesse and the Rippers.
We've rescued her. Mission accomplished. Now let's just walk around here and just be kind of annoying in general for a little while. They see the madam, who is the lady who runs this place. And they didn't have a gun. Did they have a gun or a knife or something? I'm not exactly sure how they turned her.
Jet Girl had a gun.
Okay.
Tank Girl had a like razor blade, like a.
Oh, that's right. She had a little razor blade down. And but again, for a woman who is the proprietor of a titty bar brothel water park, you have no security. There's not. No. You couldn't be like guards seize them. Like you just, she's just there by herself. And their solution is rather than like take her hostage or kill her or use her as a human shield so we can get out. they make her sing a 1928 Cole Porter Do It. Or Let's Do It. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Birds Do It. Bees Do It. Evidently, what is it? Educated Fleas Do It.
Do It. Yep.
Everyone in this place knows every fucking word to this song. They're doing
harmonies.
Well,
they yell at them to make them sing it.
Yell at me to make me sing that and see if I know the fucking words to it. Like, I don't know the words to this fucking... It's a 100-year-old song.
It's super popular in Tank World. Apparently. Whatever the fuck this place is called.
Apparently, yeah. So they're all singing and they're... Lori Petty gets up on stage. It's a whole Rockettes thing happening. And somehow the guys from Water and Power are watching this happen live. They're not watching like POV from her. They're watching like security camera footage of this, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about. But of course, Sam gets taken hostage again because y'all can't complete a fucking mission.
Again.
Fix. Yeah.
I'm at the president. Again. Yeah.
So then the Rippers, the Tank Girl and Jet Girl, like, go out into the desert to do something. I'm not entirely sure what. All of a sudden, Jet Girl realizes that Tank Girl is nowhere to be found. We saw briefly before that, like, if you drop something with weight on it on, like, where the Ripper's hangout entrance is, the sand, like, swallows you up and takes you down. Yeah, they have subgates. That's right, the subgates, of course. So Tank Girl is down in one of these subgates, and then Jet Girl realizes, oh my God, she's gone. Now I'm also in here, because they said it was near two rocks, and wouldn't you know it, we're conveniently between two rocks. We didn't notice that until now.
This happened.
Let's talk about the Rippers, because I've got questions. Yeah. I've got thoughts. Did you guys understand how they came to be? Because I fucking don't.
Well, I thought they were dogs.
Experiments, right? Some kind of experiment gone wrong gone right.
They give it to the dumbest one to explain. The one that can't think.
Early in the film, I thought these were like vicious, like, right. They kill all those people. That's where she gets the gift for her boyfriend. Is Rippers kill something and leave it? I forget what her
those guys
words
weren't in Water and Power uniforms. Those guys were in white clothes. I don't know who those dudes were.
I don't know who those motherfuckers were, but they killed them up, and she raided the carcasses for presents.
And she got a ball that, if you don't know how to handle it, blades come out and go through your hand.
Correct.
Okay, I've seen that in other stuff. I feel like maybe not. Maybe it's just stuck with me this whole time. But
no, you've seen it. She got a pair of boots.
Yeah, she got a pair of boots. So the
Rippers.
Right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Jesse and the Rippers. I don't understand. The movie again portrays them as like ultra vicious killing machines. Okay, cool.
Up until we actually get to meet them.
Right. I think they only kill the Water and Power guys, which, like, I guess makes sense given their backstory. Essentially, this guy who I don't know if he was working for Water and Power. I don't know what his role in any of this was. He's just this guy, Dr. Prophet, who...
Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny Prophet, who takes some kangaroo DNA and some human DNA and makes abominations out of it.
They're supposed to be
the super soldiers.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of animals I could think of before I go to a kangaroo to mix with a human. How about a tiger? They're pretty fucking tough.
They punch. Kangaroos are upright.
They do. And they also have claws on their their feet. They're dangerous. Yeah. But like, if I'm thinking of vicious animals, I go so far down the list before I land on kangaroo.
Bears exist.
Yeah.
Polar bear. Leads me to believe this was a terrible, terrible accident. They were not supposed to be.
They were not supposed to be.
It didn't turn out the way it was supposed to turn out.
No.
But it's like the super... To me, were these... Okay, so truly a couple questions.
Yeah.
Were they making these prior to the comet, meteor, whatever the fuck hit Earth?
Had to be.
Were they made in response to whatever was happening? Like, to me... Okay, you're right. Had to be. Because if they were made in response, what would have been like... the thing, because it's like, oh, the comet hit, and then there's all these other fucking mutants. We need our own mutants.
They tried to drop this in a way that, like, I think they thought I wasn't going to notice. They're like, oh, they created us, but then the war ended. And so they said they had to destroy us. What fucking war? Yes. This a comet hit. This is not, oh, this is not World War III, and we've destroyed the planet. So a comet hit Earth, and in response, humans go to war with each other?
For like, supplies and resources.
Then you have to put that in that 15 seconds in the beginning of the movie. Lori Petty has to say also a war broke out, because I have no idea what war this was. I don't know who was fighting.
Sorry to Bother You. Did you ever see that movie?
No, but I want to.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, I was going to talk about Boots, it, but I don't want to ruin it for you.
Boots Riley? Is that the
Boots
guy?
Boots Riley.
He's awesome.
It would have been a nice corollary, but I will ruin the film for you.
I need to watch it. It's a shame of me that I haven't. But like, so they were created for a war, but they're grown. So like, either they
well,
were
a super soldier. You're not wasting time.
I guess you don't build it as an embryo.
But
in the illustration, they're embryos in like test tubes and like big ass glowing test tubes.
No, people.
There was a picture of them in the opening.
They learned from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where you don't want to wait for them to grow up. Yeah, you want them to just be. Just
give them that ooze.
No. I definitely was like, is this in response? Oh, no. This comic book obviously probably came out before Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But I was like,
no.
Did we need another? Comic?
Maybe. Oh, could have been contemporaries. Because the original Ninja Turtles comic is like violent as fuck, black and white. Like it's heavy shit. It is. They're actual like ninjas killing people and shit.
Did we need more
animatronic?
Animal you know, it's like, oh, the cute Ninja Turtles. Let's get some kangaroo peoples.
Well, and frankly, another movie did kangaroo fighters better. Was it Guardians of Destiny? I'll look it up. There's another movie from around this time where there's like kung fu kangaroo people and shit. I'll figure out what that was.
Kangaroo Jack, yeah.
Kangaroo Jack. Oh God, that I'll talk to you guys about that movie off mic. It's not worth getting into right now. But like, we also find out that the Rippers hang out, like their lair is a bowling alley fully hidden underground.
Well,
it hasn't
like,
rained
the
in 11
desert
years.
Rose.
Right.
So just like, you know, what's actually going to happen where the water rises because the planet heats up. When a comet hits and all the water goes away, sand replaces
80 foot sand dunes everywhere. Like, I just don't know.
We are on what's that dune planet now? I can't remember.
Arrakis.
We're on Arrakis.
Wow.
I was like BA Arrakis.
BA Arrakis.
We're amongst the Fremen. That's what's happening.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was very confused.
I don't know what that is.
Well, you're not a big enough nerd.
You should watch New Dune. It's good.
It's good.
New Dune.
It's good. New Dune. But yeah, like I just there's a part where they store Jet Girl and Tank Girl in a room that just is a floor full of bowling balls.
Like, I'm like, is this meant uncomfortable. To make people super uncomfortable? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, this is a torture method. Because they can't stand anywhere.
You can't stand up. You can't lay down.
What happened to the racks?
First time, the floor's got bowling balls over it. They come back another time. They've just moved the bowling balls off to the side.
They just moved them.
That's all you had to do?
It's okay. Push them away. Cool. So they drop in here that all of the these kangaroo men, all the Rippers are reincarnated.
I didn't need this.
What the fuck? Why are you gramming this in there too? So okay, you're a human animal hybrid and you have been reincarnated. So we brought back people from the dead to then crossbreed with kangaroos. It was for nothing. It was for nothing. One of them, the Reggie Cathy, who I assume is kind of the leader of this outfit.
Yeah, he was even the rat guy from Ninja Mutant. Scar?
Yes.
Scar?
I'm gonna call him Shredder.
there was the rat
Splinter.
King.
Splinter.
Splinter. Yeah, the Rat King was the human that liked the rats. But like they tell us that he is reincarnated Jack Kerouac. I don't think this movie knows who Jack Kerouac was.
No, it doesn't.
Was Jack Kerouac a jazz saxophonist? because apparently he's a jazz saxophonist.
It's supposed to be like cool, jazzy, like beat poet stuff.
Well,
like that.
Well, he had bongos at one point. That made sense. Right. Bongos. He's a jazz saxophonist.
There's like a weird circle dance that's done. I'm like, this is.
Oh, that was them praying, Dave. That was them praying to the god of freedom and pleasure.
According to the trivia on IMDb, Reggie Cathy was a huge fan of the comic book. He wanted to play a different character that they did not include in the film, some sort of Rastafarian character.
Okay.
But they gave him DT instead. He plays saxophone because Reggie Cathy bought his own saxophone to set.
Well, we're off the rails here. We're off the rails. We just do whatever you want to do, I guess.
That's great.
Again, I don't know the source material. Maybe DT does play a jazz saxophone.
I can't imagine he would if he's Jack Kerouac. He should be writing all the time. Like, I just don't get
it. He does some poetry. Also, he does do some poetry. He's black. Kerouac ain't black.
No. Nope. So. But I don't. I think I know he's black because Reggie Cathy is black. But, like, the prosthetics are covering his whole skin and face.
The voice.
Kangaroos are brownish. I don't fucking know.
No.
So Ice-T, well, the jazz and the voice and
According to La La Land, it is white people.
Yes, according to La La Land, white folks created and saved jazz. Ice-T was a cop before he was reincarnated. Ice-T loves playing a cop. Like, all he does is play cops.
New Jack City, baby. New Jack City.
I mean, SVU loves being a cop.
He wasn't on SVU yet.
True. And then one of them used to work as, I think, at like an electronics store, is what the smart one. Why are you reincarnating electronics store guy? You got Jack Kerouac and also like minimum wage clerk. We're going to reincarnate for this super soldier project.
Name in the hat. He's like, I think it'd be great to be a fucking super soldier kangaroo
I guess.
Had to be all random. Just,
raid the fucking cemetery.
That's what I was trying to think. Did they go to one of those like a very egalitarian cemetery where it's like you got Jack Kerouac here, you got some other dude right next to him, or just
got
random
dog
people
here
all over
too.
The place. And it's like some kind of spell. And then
dogs here. Yeah.
Wait. Save the dog for a second. Yeah. My only thing is though, okay, I know this is a comic book. I know we're being like very dense on this and like really needling them.
It's worth it.
Do the authors of the comic book understand that taking someone's DNA is not reincarnation? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if all they did was just
the
take
OJ
DNA.
Trial, so they might not have been that familiar with what DNA was.
I'm just saying, that's not how this works.
It's not how any of this works.
You're just taking my DNA, I'm not coming back.
No,
that's not how what reincarnation is.
Well, and then
the dog. Yeah, the dog. I was a good boy, so they put me up a level.
I was a very good dog, and so they upgraded me to human status. What does that mean? Like, you take a dog who listens well, it's like, well, you're a human now, I guess. Like, what?
Absolutely not. Stay a dog, my friend.
Well, and then my
dog's got a great life. Every day. Pup. He wakes up, he eats, he goes back to sleep.
Yeah, gets
some
pets.
He goes for a walk, he goes back to sleep. He goes to the bathroom, he goes back to sleep.
It's just, I didn't understand any of this fucking mess. Because even if you cross the dog DNA with kangaroo DNA, you can't talk now. I don't know.
No. He becomes a human. They're like, you're going to become a human.
Becomes a
human. And then the next step, do you want to be a super soldier mixed with a kangaroo? And he was like, yeah. He doesn't know any better. He's a fucking dog. He's like, it sounds great.
He's stupid as shit. But of course, that's the one that Lily Petty falls in love with.
First. She falls in love with the dog,
yeah.
Human kangaroo.
You got to at least make him physically look different from the other ones. Like, give him like floppier ears or something. So I'm like, oh, it's not quite the same. I don't know.
I thought he was a stoner. And then you're like, no, he's just a dog.
He's just dumb. He's a dog. Yeah, I don't. So then the movie does culminate with this big third act raid. There's a weapon shipment that they find out about, and then they have to shut down the weapon shipment. I don't know why. The Rippers live underground. No one knows where their hideouts are. Water and power are shipping guns, not like bunker buster missiles. Just stay underground, guys. Like, there's no reason to come up.
Well, as you pointed out, we don't know. Like, they obviously only kill water and power people, so they want to prevent water and power from getting more
More water and power.
More power.
I just.
And they have designated themselves the protectors of the post-apocalyptic worlds for reasons that were never fully explained to us. So that's why they're trying to get these weapons.
No one fucking knows. So then the Rippers are supposed to help in this raid, but Ice-T's an asshole because he's a cop. And he's like, no, they're spies. Make them do it on their own. Now, two things. Number one, there's no real reason to think they're spies. They are. Lori Petty is clearly not reliable to do anything but like wisecrack. Why would you make her a spy? They have the tattoos that you get when you're a prisoner. He's like, ah, that's what they want you to think. And I'm like, have they ever sent spies in here before? Like, I don't think they, that's not really how they get down, man.
They didn't tell us.
Then you got to say, oh, it's like last time when they sent spies. They didn't tell us any of that shit. They have this weapons cache that's like rolling through the desert with no escort. And like, there's a guy or two with guns on the truck, but you'd think they would have like a caravan of planes and trucks and shit escorting this thing through. No, it's just a couple of guys and that's it. Tank Girl takes the whole thing down herself because Jet Girl's jet had a malfunction that she never explained. Oh, it's got a malfunction. That's all we got. So it's Tank Girl by herself. Takes down this whole thing and then almost falls off a cliff onto an unnamed ruined metropolis. Where the fuck are we? What skyscraper in America backs up to a cliff? Like, where are we?
Again, the sand just came up so high.
I mean, they put a city inside the Grand Canyon, apparently, is what happened here. I don't know what's going on.
You don't know what the comet did to Earth? You don't know what happened?
This movie just didn't even have to try. This was a big bait and switch because water and power bugged Tank Girl's entire body somehow. There's a part where Malcolm McDowell is like, okay, I can listen to your heartbeat now and like track where you are. But we definitely didn't see them like shoot her up full of microphones. I don't know what. The most hand wavy ass shit they could have thought of. Tank Girl and Jet Girl get captured again. That's all they fucking do. Tank and Kesley have their big fight. Good lord.
Probably the most money in visual effects was right here. Somehow his head.
Man, we're going to talk about
hologram now.
Okay, so he for some reason the
cybernetics.
Well, for some reason the guy who is essentially president of Earth goes along with these soldiers to like hunt Rippers. The Rippers show up, kill everybody. They, I guess, tear off his hand and perhaps his head and face.
Oh, no, there was a very... you saw his body just ripped into two separate pieces. And you're just like, oh, he's dead. Like, oh, no.
No, he's fine. He's not. He's okay.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, just put this weird hockey mask on him. He's fine. So,
yeah. Well, his face was badly damaged, is what the doctor said, I think.
Like, yeah, the first doctor with the world's weirdest bangs was like, oh, his I can't do anything for you. You'll never use your arm again. You'll never see again. But I can make you comfortable. And once I give him painkillers, he's like, no, get James Hong in here now. So James Hong shows up in what can only be described as an offensive mustache. Like the mustache, he's basically Pai Mei. It's the mustache. And then he's got like, I don't know what you call that, kind of a Chinese shirt he's got on. It's unfortunate. But he's basically like, I can fix you. Like, I'll make you a murder arm and do something with your head and face. What he does, he gives him like a hologram projector on his neck stump. I guess
he cuts his head off. That's what Bill told me.
Yeah. Right. He has a big claw. That's right. He comes in with a big cartoon claw and cuts his head off. And then he like mounts some kind of like a hologram to what was left. And then he gives him an arm that is full of what look like really flimsy little like jiggling around blades, but that can cut through fucking anything, apparently.
The worst blender.
And just sets him loose on Earth. And they had this big fight. Neither one of these two are very good at like stage fighting. This is a clumsy fight.
You call this a big fight. There's not much going on. It
looks terrible.
I do a couple things. You do a couple things at me.
Yeah.
I get your arm stuck in something. Then I don't finish you for some reason. Then you get your arm unstuck. Yeah. It goes back and forth in the dumbest possible way.
He falls down and gets his arm like stuck in a big gear. And so he's on the ground, stuck in this fucking gear situation or what have you. At this point, the tank bursts through the wall by itself. Like, there's no one driving it. The tank just shows up.
Well, she can, like, whistle for it.
Yeah, it's now voice like activated. It's also sentient. Yeah, because she's like, oh, hey, man, kill it. And then the tank shakes its gun no. And she's like, well, are you out of ammo? And all the lights light up. And I'm like, why? How does any of this happen? She goes inside the tank and rather than just drive over him, shoots beer cans at him. Mm-hmm. Why do we have beer? The world's out of water.
She's drinking lots of beer, like throughout the film. Yep. And I'm just, and then she like wastes one in early in the movie. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Water, the world is out of water. This beer obviously had to have come from before the comet hit, because no one's like bottling beer after that. But why wasn't it like drunk for survival by then? Yeah.
Yeah. To brew barley and hops.
Yes.
And then just brewery water's delicious. Like
one of my,
the best water on the planet.
Has to be. One of my oldest friends and friend of the pod, Eric Bramwell, runs a brewery. Big ass tanks in there, man. Like, what are we doing? And she's just shooting these big ass, not Foster's at him, but they're Foster's cans, obviously. And she's shooting one at a time, and he is just effortlessly swiping these things aside.
Fucking,
and I'm like, Wonder just Woman run over him. Just run him down. What are we doing here? Eventually, she does get him. He falls onto like an electric fence, and his arm gets stuck. And then she stabs him with that water death machine body draining thing. Yeah. Oh yeah, you missed that part. Yeah, that's how he dies at the end, is that she stabs him with that thing, and he becomes water. And then I guess the movie's over. Dave, how would you describe how the movie
ends? What happens next? This is, I definitely missed this.
Well, they've killed the president of the world / the CEO of Water and Power. So everybody gets water. It kind of, they sort of open up the taps and then just go fucking buck wild. It goes into a comic, an animated version of what happens next. And they go ski. Well, they have what's his name, Booga water skiing on the back of a tank.
Yeah. Yep.
And
on water.
He's on water.
It's
water world.
They open the taps. They opened it wide open and said, "I don't care where the water goes. We just need water, 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 water." So now there's a river.
Yes,
they are just zooming down in a tank.
We're flooding everything.
Conserving
now.
Water.
Fuck that. Fuck that.
We're just gonna release all this shit.
And then they decided they're being misers of the water. Uh-huh. And they're like, "Fuck it, let that river flow."
And Jet Girl's like, you're gonna fly off. You see, you got a waterfall up there. It's like, I don't give a shit.
I don't give a fuck.
I remember what
she said. Yeah.
Like, they fly off. They fly off a waterfall and presumably die.
They die. Yeah, they have to die.
And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah,
I saw her kiss him. Did that happen?
She does.
That happened in real life.
That was in real life. Yeah, he shows up and he's like, oh, he's got like a bunch of Water and Power armed guards with him with their guns. And he's like, oh, I took the bullets out of their gun. That was pretty smart, right? So that was very smart. And then she kisses him. And I'm like, gross, man. He's not, well, he's an animal.
Down apparently
sort.
Later. We just
got that big old swinging prosthetic hog. Yeah. It's a fucking mess. This fucking movie. But yeah, that's how it ends. It ends with an animated sequence where presumably they just drive off a waterfall in a tank and die. Like that's how the movie ends. Thumb and Louise style. Cool. Now, one thing we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was sort of big things at the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. This week, we're diving on Stacey Lynn Ramsauer, who played Sam. She has 5 credits. This was her 3rd one. She was in 4 episodes of Hey Dude as 3 different characters between 89 and 91. Yeah. Then
exactly I loved it.
I loved it. Also, props to them for giving Native representation, because Danny was some kind of a Native American on that show, Navajo or something.
Sure was.
So then after that, she had no credits between 91 and 95. 95 was a big fucking year for her. She's in The Quick and the Dead, Tank Girl, and The Babysitter's Club. And then a TV movie called Terminal in 96, and then never acted again. So
another,
like,
movie that I love. Quick and the Dead, man.
Oh, they Terminal.
Was that good?
Well, no. Not Terminal. But yeah, weird to me that, like, she's only had 5 credits. 4 of them are very recognizable. Like, these are big titles. And yeah, just went away and that was it for her.
It's like John Cazale almost is like all 5 movies that he was in nominated for Academy Award, yeah. Then he fucking dies.
Yep, he dies.
Maybe not quite John Cazale.
Well, I guess I didn't look into it. Perhaps she died in 96. I don't know.
No.
But that does bring us to the end of this episode. And just like the end of the school year, that means it's time to nuts and superlatives. It was really fucking hard this week. There's only 3 characters I can do this for, and I know nothing about them. So here we fucking go. Sam is most likely to be told that she has a potty mouth. Jet Girl is most likely to take off her glasses and wash her face and discover that she's beautiful. The very last shot we see of her, for some reason, she doesn't have glasses on. Like, she's hot all of a sudden because she's Naomi Watts. And then Tank Girl is most likely to die from doing the dumbest thing anyone has ever heard of. I mean, that's basically how the movie ends anyway. Just gotta drive off this fucking waterfall. This next movie is Dana's pick. Dana, what are we gonna watch next?
Okay, I quickly perused HBO Max. Max. Because I can't looking through Netflix is so fucking hard. I can't do it. And the first movie that jumped out at me, there is one that's available that I think would be amazing, but it's only the sequel, not the first one. So I don't feel comfortable just starting at the second one.
That's fair.
It'd be really good. The movie I've chosen, because I didn't realize until I read the description that they are in high school, is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah. They go to San Dimas High.
Absolutely.
San Dimas High School
I'm more of a bogus journey gal. I remember I made my brother and my mom, like, you gotta tape Bogus Journey off of HBO for me. And I watch it all the time. So I'm more of a Bogus Journey. But
Journey is the one with Station, right? The two little alien fellas with the big butts?
Reaper? It's definitely Death, and they're giving everybody Melvins.
Yeah, Death and Station are the same movie. Okay, well, good guy.
But we're gonna take an excellent adventure. Okay. So that's where I picked.
This is one that I did see in the theater when I was like 4 years old. So there's that. Guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recap and Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recap and Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Sam, no one's ever going to see your peanut dick either, butt smear. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.